1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. It is another day, another Monday. It's been a while since we've had a show. I think Wednesday was the last one. Was it Wednesday, Tuesday? I'm not sure. But anyway, we're back. And things didn't go as hoped for the racers. In fact, it turned out to be a costly road trip for Murray State. Not just in terms of losing both games, because that was a possibility. The racers playing the teams with the best records in the OVC on the road and lost to Belmont. And in that game, Breon Sanchez went down with a knee injury. Racers actually fell behind by, I believe it was 10. They cut it to 1. Went in down 3 at halftime. Came out smoking in the second half. Built an 8-point lead. Sanchez went up for a tip-in. Came down kind of awkwardly and hurt his knee. Listed as a knee sprain. He'll have an MRI today. Just the initial prognosis doesn't look good. But you never know. It could, they could get in there, and it could be something just a maybe a mild sprain. Fingers crossed on that. If it is, I would assume the time missed would still be a week or two. But if it's as feared worse than that, then you just look at the timeline and you're out of the season, whether or not surgery is required on it or not. So I won't speculate as to what it is because I don't know. And until they get an MRI today, they won't know either. On the Hey Coach show tonight with Matt McMahon, we likely will know the results of that MRI and whether Sanchez will be available for the rest of the season. Again, it doesn't look good initially, but you never know. Sometimes we have had things work out that we thought would really be bad and turn out not to be. Maybe this will be one of those. So the racers had little time to game plan without Sanchez. I mean, they pretty much knew, no doubt about it, he was not going to be available for Saturday. So they game planned without him. And, not a lot of time to prepare for a good team for Tennessee State. Just overnight Thursday. And these coaches, if you around the hotel at 1 or 2 in the morning, guess what? They're up to. They're working hard, especially in a situation like this, to try to get that game plan together, get something that might work against Tennessee State, and actually came up with something. Now, the Racers had to make shots in the first half, but they did that, trailing just 37-34 at the half, outscored Tennessee State in the second half, 37-36, but after having no fouls in the first half, Wayne Langston whistled for 5 in the second half. He fouled out with a little over 3 minutes to go. The Racers at one point with a 5-point lead. And let's see, that was with 5:32 left. They were up by 5 and couldn't hang on to it. Once Langston went to the bench, that really left Murray vulnerable with Tennessee State's big men on the inside. That gave them a pretty distinct advantage on a scoring punch. And from a rebounding standpoint, although the Racers actually did pretty well rebounding with Langston out of there, it just still gave Tennessee State quite an advantage when their big men were in the ball game, and just didn't make enough shots, especially in the second half. Shot it well in the first half, ice cold in the second half. Tough to win on the road when you shoot 30% from the field, 25% from three range, and that's exactly what the Racers did. Didn't defend well enough. Tennessee State able to hit 52% from the field and 40% from three range overall, and that's it's not going to get it done most of the time. Murray has, for the most part, of the last 3 of the last 4 games, taken care of the ball very well. Just 9 turnovers. They forced Tennessee State into 14, but not enough. Bryce Jones with 18 points, made 10 free throws, still isn't shooting it well overall, 3 for 10 from the field. Wayne Langston with 14 points, a dozen points for Jeffrey Moss, but Jeff really struggled from 3-point range, just 1 for 8, but played okay otherwise. In 12 points for Justin Seymour, who really shot it well. It was Justin's birthday. Good to see him make those shots. Hit 4 out of 5 threes, 4 of 8 from the field overall. So that's the situation that the Racers find themselves in as we take a look at the Ohio Valley Conference standings. And oddly, the Racers are still in the thick of everything. On the other side of the ledger, the OVC East, it's quite the race, but in the OVC West, the racers are still in it. Let me call up the standings here. I thought I had those in front of me, and they have disappeared via the computer. And now here we go. Tennessee Martin still atop the standings, along with Eastern Illinois in terms of winning percentage. Martin's 2-2, Eastern Illinois 3-3. Murray State comes in at 2-3. But if the racers can win both home games this week, they will be likely back in first place in the Ohio Valley Conference, at least a share of it. So things still, they're not bad despite having some struggles. That would also get them back to the 500 mark overall. Austin Peay comes in at 1-4. Edwardsville 1-5. SEMO 0-6. Quite a race on the other side, where Tennessee State and Belmont deadlocked at 5-0. Tennessee Tech 5-1, right on their heels. Moorhead at 3-2. Jacksonville State 3-3. And Eastern Kentucky, after their hot start, suddenly not so hot, as they are 2-3. That will be the next road game, by the way, for the racers a week from Wednesday night. So Murray State will likely, we'll know today, but I would say most likely will have to game plan for being without Breon Sanchez, if not for the rest of the season, for most of the rest of the season. And this time, though, they have a little bit more time to perhaps retool what they want to do, come up with some different answers. Right now, the Racers not getting any contributions from a significant portion of their bench. They played 8 players the other night, but 6 played 25 or more. Culberth played 4. Patty played 5. And it's likely they're going to have to get more minutes from those two players. And maybe, you know, if Taron Gilmore hasn't played by now, the odds are he may not be seeing minutes. And Charles Brown, are they going to get anything out of him? This is a time that, since it's, Brown obviously in a spot where I guess they could either, they could, I guess, at this point decide to redshirt him. He hasn't played that much. So that might still be some sort of an option that they have for him. These guys here that aren't getting the playing time, this is maybe an audition for next season for them. And I don't mean audition to stay on the team. And of course, that could be the case. But that, what I mean is an audition for playing time next year. With a lot of new players coming in, the Racers have gotten, and Matt McMahon can't say anything about this, but they've gotten a verbal commitment from Terrell Miller, a 6'8 JUCO kid who is, I think, averaging about 10.7 rebounds a game there. It is JUCO in Mississippi, so they have him coming in. They have Jalen Dupree, big 6'8 kid from Cordova, Dondre Griffin, who's doing well, and Gilbert Thomas. So some really talented freshmen. Also Jonathan Stark, who's going to push Bryce Jones or whoever they have for the starting point guard position. And a lot of guys that'll be pushing for playing time. Of course, you have Kidrick Flomo's situation that's up in the air for next year. But the point is, if you're riding the bench, not getting the minutes, now's the time to make your impact. Because the opportunity certainly will be there. The Racers have limited options beyond Wayne Langston in terms of a scoring option inside. There's so many teams, and the one that really scares me, Austin Peay with Chris Horton on the inside. You get Langston in foul trouble, and I'm telling you, it could be a nightmare. The Racers could be in a spot where they could lose both games to Austin Peay just based on the Horton versus no Wayne Langston matchup, should Langston get into foul trouble. So those are the kind of situations that you're in. So far, the Racers haven't been consistent enough shooting the ball to really pencil in any victory for sure. It's there's a thin margin for error. It's a tough hand the Racers have been dealt. I guess it all started when campaign, you're not getting anyone that wants to come and play point guard for you because you have a guy that NBA scouts are looking at, but no one expected him to until really late in the season when the recruiting process had kind of gone by to jump to the NBA. And that's exactly what Cam did. And good for Cam. I would have done it, would have encouraged my son or grandson to do it based on what he knew, the information that said, look, you're going to go here. If you don't do it, you're going to cost yourself more than $1 million. No issue with that. However, what it does do, the Racers in a spot where once he left, then they start to go after point guards who might be willing to come, and many of the others that they could have been recruiting had already signed. So they're behind the eight ball on that. They're really fortunate to get Bryce Jones. Bryce, a really outstanding player. Really shudder to think where they would be without him Plus, you add the Flomo injury in there, it would really create an unbelievably difficult situation. But at least at this point, they do have Jones. Jones has been a solid point guard, really a terrific free throw shooter. Makes some bad decisions still when he drives it inside. He's just going to have to get better at that. Because of the thin margin for error, they cannot afford going in one-on-three, taking bad shots. And G. McGee done some of that too earlier in the year. Hasn't done it as much lately. G's only issue right now, he's just in a terrible free throw shooting slump. He's defending well. He's really shooting the ball well from three-point range. DeMarcus Croker right there with him in terms of the free throw shooting. He's just not doing that. And to this point, DeMarcus hasn't been as good defensively as I believe they thought he would be. Now, if that's something that comes along, and this is, to me, what it will take for the Racers to end with a winning season, perhaps win their division, maybe get to Saturday night in the OVC Tournament Championship game with an opportunity to go to the NCAA Tournament. But healthy from here on, that goes without saying. There's really no doubt about that. Moss has to be Moss at his best. He doesn't have to score 20 a game, but he's got to be that 15, 16, 17 a point guy, and you got to get that from him virtually every night. Can't have a seven-point game like he had at Belmont. And the Bruins, they did a good job on him, really limited Jeff's looks. So tip of the cap to Belmont. But they need to get more out of Jeff. That 15, 17-point-a-game effort would be great. Again, he doesn't have to be a superstar. If he is, that's great, but no pressure on him to do that. Langston has to stay out of foul trouble. He'll still flirt with a double-double. He's not going to probably be a 10-rebound guy, but he'll get you 7 or 8 a game. He's going to have you 14 points or so. He's been really consistent with that. If Wayne's in, he'll produce. G. McGee has been good. The free throw shooting, I think, will come along. He's just in a little mini slump. I'm not really worried about that. He's starting to shoot the ball well, and he's in a pretty decent groove right now other than that free throw shooting. Bryce Jones cut back on the turnovers. Had 7 against Belmont, 3 assists, 3 turnovers against Tennessee State. Those are ratios that that need to be better for the Racers to excel. They just have to be. There have been seasons where the talent was enough. That wouldn't really matter, but this isn't one of those. DeMarcus Croker, better defense, got to correct the free throw shooting. Those two things, if Croker is the player they believe he could be, and that's a guy that is a double-digit guy, not occasionally, but a double-digit guy every night, good decisions with shots, and he's made, I think, a lot better decisions with the basketball recently. You have to realize he's had a lot of time off, but it's close to the point where you start to expect what you're going to get out of him. And if he will be better defensively, be that one of those lockdown defenders, and athletically he should have the skills to do that. If he can do that, get that 10 points a game, they're good. Off the bench, Chad Culbreth. Chad has shown a ton of flashes what he's been able to do. And I think with Chad, you're going to get, if he lays off the crazy passes, shoots within the rhythm of the offense. And for Chad, to me, all he has to do is run the offense. When he's in there, when he's replacing Bryce, just run the show. Get the ball to who it needs to get to. Defend as hard as you can. When there are the opportunities to take an open look within the confines of what they want to do with the shot clock, then knock it down. I feel confident he can hit it. Started out bad as a free throw shooter, but he was a good free throw shooter in high school, and he's been pretty good in OVC play. Justin Seymour, who was sort of a wreck early in the season shooting. I mean, you'd have nights when he just couldn't make a shot. Well, I'll tell you what, lately he's really been shooting it extremely well. Had a terrific game against Tennessee State. Hit 4 of 5 from 3 range, 4 of 8 overall. His attitude has been fantastic lately. Great on defense, as good as he can be. I mean, there's some guys that, look, they're not going to be the lockdown defenders, but just be as good as you can be. And I think Justin is doing that right now. He's giving you about all he can get out of him defensively. He'll sneak in and get a rebound. He's kind of a sneaky defender. He'll get steals, leads the team in steals, he along with G. McGee. And when he's making threes, he is a huge, huge part of what the Racers want to do. The Racers do have to get more from A.J. Patty. I'm not sure exactly what they'll get out of him, but they have to have more. You can tell A.J. really wants to help. He works hard. He's still looking for his stroke. You feel once he makes a shot or two, then other shots will come. The kid can shoot. I mean, he can shoot the mid-range jumper. He can shoot the three, but he just hasn't made them. I think he's feeling a lot of pressure to do that because the team really needs him, and he just hasn't been able to break the ice scoring-wise. He's a good free-throw shooter, but we'll have to really buckle down, better rebounding, and at least try to get a draw against somebody defensively. And if all those things come about, this could be good. Again, I'm not sure the plan on Charles Brown. I don't know how much playing time we'll see. Taron Gilmore hasn't played yet, so I'm not sure what they're going to get out of him, if anything. This may be a team, when you take Sanchez out of it, it may be eight players. It may be the five starters, Langston, Moss, McGee, Jones, and Croker. Seymour, your instant offense on the bench, that's great to have. Then you have a backup small guy, and Chad Colberth, and a backup big guy in A.J. Patty. That's going to be it. The formula is going to be there. The extra playing time, if the guys stay healthy, that should mean everybody's getting a lot of shots. Maybe the shooting will improve and become more consistent. I still have a lot of confidence that McGee, he'll get his turned around. I'm not worried about that. I haven't really seen Croker shoot free throws well, but I still believe, you know, he works hard at it. And if he continues to do that, it will be fine. The fact that they can go down there shorthanded on short notice with the Sanchez injury and play Tennessee State as well as they did, with an opportunity to send the game the overtime with a last shot, that is very encouraging to me. Really is. And again, they're doing enough things well, but again, a very small margin for error, and teams are going to be coming at Wayne Langston, trying to do things to get him into foul trouble, and Wayne is just going to have to not take the bait. Sometimes that might mean just giving up a bucket. He's by me. I'm just going to have to give up a layup there. My team will need me more down the stretch. And it, you know, when you look at it, you'll say, well, he didn't even do anything there. Well, that's what he's going to have to do that once in a while, early in the game. You know, late in the game, game on the line, you got to go. If you foul, you foul. But there are times that you're going to have to sometimes just let some of those go. If you're beat, you're beat. Let it happen. And just try not to, you know, think smart in terms of rebounding. Now, the game's coming in this week. Eastern Illinois suddenly playing well. They got off to just an awful start, but they come in on Thursday night playing much better. And I'm not going to spoil our preview on that, but you can look it up. Standings-wise, we've told you, they're tied for first with Tennessee Martin. They're 3-3. Martin is 2-2. And then SIU Edwardsville coming in. I've seen them play twice on TV, and the two times I saw them play, they looked pretty good. I mean, they have some nice talent. They're both going to be challenging games. And the Racers shorthanded, likely not going to have Sanchez. You know, the Flomo situation, and that's basketball. We've really been fortunate over the years not to have too many of these. But you know, there's been a few. Jawan Long with his injury that put him out for the year. Dante Poole, happened to Dante one year. Lost Ivan Aska for a bit of time. That was even during the great 31-win season, the last one the Racers had. So the injuries do happen from time to time. But to be hit with two potential season enders in one season, it doesn't happen very often, but it happens to teams, and you have to figure out a way to go on. Matt McMahon will earn his money. Again, as I said earlier in the year, hopefully fans weren't thinking they're going to win 29 this season, but my goodness, they lost four starters, a lot of newcomers coming in. To me, a winning season and being able to challenge for an OVC championship down the stretch, I thought was very much in the cards. It'll be much more difficult now without Sanchez. Not impossible, but it will be much more difficult for the Rangers without the big man answer. But we shall see. Here's what's on the schedule this week in the OVC. Non-conference action will kick things off tomorrow night when Hannibal LaGrange plays at Southeast Missouri. And then the conference games this week, the Thursday night games, finds Belmont at Tennessee Martin, SIU Edwardsville at Austin Peay, Eastern Illinois at Murray State, Jacksonville State is at Eastern Kentucky, and Tennessee Tech is at Morehead State. And then our Saturday games will have Jacksonville State at Morehead State, Tennessee Tech at Eastern Kentucky, UT Martin at SEMO, Tennessee State at Belmont, Eastern Illinois at Austin Peay, and SIU Edwardsville will be at Murray State. That has us caught up. We'll have more information on the games for this week on tonight's Hey Coach Show with Matt McMahon. If you have questions, you can always get those to Hey Coach Show, HeyCoachShow. Scrunch it all together into one word, HeyCoachShow@gmail.com. Racer women also lost Saturday, dropping a 69-58 decision to Tennessee State. Murray trailed by double digits in the first half, shooting 29%. In fact, I think they were down like 13, 14 to nothing, something like that. And but chipped away, took the lead in the second half before Tennessee State came back and rallied for the victory. And in that one, the score 69-58. Murray State returns to action on Wednesday in women's action. Will they play at Eastern Kentucky? Now, they don't do divisions on the women's side, so the Racers find themselves in eighth place at 2-3. SEMO and Edwardsville tied for first at 5-1. Tennessee State at 4-1. Martin 3-1. Belmont and Eastern Kentucky 3-2. So it's a big game for Murray State Wednesday. If they'll win that, they'll tie themselves with Eastern Kentucky. If not, they'll be behind them. And again, they just play them once, so any tiebreaker would be lost. That's why that's huge. Pease 3-2, Rangers 2-3, Jacksonville State 2-4, Moorhead 1-4, Tennessee Tech 1-5, and Eastern Illinois comes in at 0-6. Our high school games, Callaway County's boys and girls in action on Saturday, losing both games to Henry County at home. The Lady Lakers losing 54-31. The Laker boys losing 41-33. Terrific Crosstown Classic matchup on the boys' side. Not as much on the girls' side. Murray High's girls expected to roll big, and they did, beating Callaway Friday night 64-31 to improve the 17-1. And the Murray boys up 15-0 out of the gate, but had to hold on to win 47-44 over Callaway County. Preston English hitting a three with a little over 2 seconds to go for the game-winning shot. The Tigers are 13-4. Now, Murray's teams will be at the All-A Classic tonight. The girls' Region 1 All-A Classic begins with a 4:30 game, Murray High and Hickman County. We're on the air with that at 4. And then at 7:45, it's the Murray High boys against Fulton City. Airtime for that one will be 7:15. The Callaway County boys return to action Thursday when they host Lexington High School of Tennessee. The Lady Lakers are in action tomorrow night when they play at Graves County. Regional interest scores from yesterday in men's basketball: SIUB Drake 81-76, Wichita State 82, Indiana State 62. Women's action saw Kentucky beat Auburn 54-47, Louisville down North Carolina State 92-90. Murray State track and field competed at the Commodore Invite in Nashville Saturday. Tons of teams. The best finished Tamdra Lawrence for the Racers in the 60 meters. Finished in seventh with a time of 7.63. The Racers back in action Friday at the John Kraft Invite in Charleston, Illinois. Murray State's rifle team, number 2 in the nation, won a tri-match against number 8 Nebraska and number 16 Ole Miss. The Racers shot 46-87, besting both Nebraska and Ole Miss. Ivan Rowe leading the Racers with a 581 in small bar and a 595 in air rifle. The Racers return to action Saturday when they host the Withrow Invitational at Pat Spurgeon Rifle Range. If the present appears kind of grim for UK men's basketball fans, and maybe it does if you're a big UK fan, not feeling too good after losing to Auburn, I get it, but you can feel good about the future. 4 Wildcat recruits named last night to play in the McDonald's All-American game. They are Bam Adebayo, De'Aaron Fox, Sasha Kilia Jones, and Malik Monk. Fox, the top-ranked Wildcat to be on the team as the overall number 2 prospect, according to 247 Sports Rankings. Monk ranked 5th overall. The game would be played March 30th in Chicago on ESPN. John Calipari continuing to get it done like no other on the recruiting trail. Just a fantastic list coming in once again. Tennessee Titans have made their decision known. Mike Mularkey, which I think is an odd name to have for a coach who's coming into a tough situation. But Mike's well-established, regardless of the name. Mularkey's going to be the new head coach of the Titans. He was named the interim head coach after the organization parted ways with Ken Whisenhunt in November. Mularkey interviewed for the position Friday. The team announced he would be the head coach moving forward on Saturday. The NBA not tolerant when its players advocate violence after publishing some comments condoning violence on social media. Grizzlies forward Matt Barnes now has been fined $35,000 for saying it. NBA Vice President Kiki Vandeweghe announced the fine yesterday afternoon. Barnes' comments have to do with his distaste for Knicks coach Derek Fisher. The two got into a fight at Barnes' ex-wife's house late last year. And the Cardinals have avoided arbitration with closer Trevor Rosenthal, reliever Seth Maness, and first baseman Brandon Moss. They agreed to 1-year contract Friday. Rosie gets $5.6 million, saved 48 games last year.
Matt Adams, $1.65 million. The Cardinals also held their 20th annual winter warm-up over the weekend. It's helped the team contribute $21 million to charity since its inception in 1997. On Saturday, General Manager John Mozeliak held a mini town hall with fans, and select players were also available for autographs. All right, we're all set for the NFL Championship Sunday. The Broncos will battle the defending Super Bowl champion Patriots for the AFC title in Denver, and the Panthers will clash with the Cardinals for the NFC Championship game in Charlotte. Both games Sunday will air on WNBS, your home for Super Bowl 50. That will wrap it up for us. Thanks so much for being with us. Another show tomorrow. Josh Planos, the Washington Post contributor, will be my guest on The Neil Bradley Show, exclusively at 1340WNBS.com.